Blog Talk Radio.
Forever and ever.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We give you glory. We give you honor. We just bless your holy name, Lord, because you're righteous, because you do. Hallelujah. All the praise, honor, and glory. Well, good morning and welcome to They Overcame. We're here to give God glory. We're here to give God praise. And I'm just so happy to be here today and so excited about the guest that we have today. Seem to be having a little difficulty because I'm not seeing any other callers on here, and I know that my husband is on. So bear with us while we try to straighten this situation out, and we'll give you a little bit more of our theme song because we just want to praise you. Okay, there I am. I wasn't on. Thank you, Pastor Horn, for alerting me that you weren't hearing me. Are you hearing me now? Amen, amen. Father, we just thank you right now for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for this day. This is the day that you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, God, we just thank you for our guests. We thank you for every listener. We ask that they be blessed, Father, by the testimony that they will hear today. Father, we lift you up. We're here for no other reason than to lift your name on high. And, Father, we know that no weapon that is formed against this broadcast, formed against the guests, formed against us, shall be able to prosper. We bind the hand of the enemy, and we speak to the technology in this computer to be to come into order, into divine order. And we give you all the praise. We give you all the honor. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, we pray. Okay, I'm going to put you the music on again. And then when we come back, I pray that everything will be okay.
For all you've done for me.
Amen. 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 Well, we're still having difficulties. And can you hear me, Pastor Horn?
A.K.A. J.A.M.
Okay. Well, the devil is a lie. The devil is a lie. No weapon that is formed against this ministry shall prosper. This testimony will get out today. And we will have the victory over all situations, over all circumstances now, in the name of Jesus. Well, I'm going to ask my husband to pray.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you right now, and we just thank you for all that you are and all that you have promised to be unto us and all that you have been. And more than anything, Lord, we just worship you because and thank you because of your faithfulness. You have been faithful. You are faithful, and you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Father, in the name of Jesus, we look to you just in this day to move in behalf of this broadcast. Lord, we know that the enemy comes to kill, to steal, and destroy, but that you have come that we might have life and speak life right now into this situation. Hallelujah. We rebuke the hand of the adversary. We bind you right now in the name of Jesus. We cast you out. Father, right now, just let your victory be shown in this place. Hallelujah. You have conquered everything, and we are more than conquerors. And right now, we just pray and we declare that this is free, that we are able to do what it is you have declared for us to do on this day, and that is to speak words of life, deliverance, and testimony to the world. In the name of Jesus, we declare it is done. We take authority right now. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, we thank you, Lord God. Now, as your words go forth, let them reach who they our purpose to reach on this day. Lord God, we know you have great things for us this day, and your words shall not come back to your void. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. We declare it is done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, thank the Lord. I'm seeing my callers. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay. Pastor Horn, are you there?
Hello?
Yes, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Amen. I can hear you. I can hear you.
Cool.
I guess
cool.
I was having trouble with Chrome. With Chrome, so I had to switch to another. I don't know. I'm not computer swivel, but
it's
anyway,
all good.
Thank God. Amen. Well, how are you this morning?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm just laughing at the enemy, trying to stir some things up this morning. But it's all good. I'm doing well.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. We're more than conquerors.
Oh, yes, we are. Yes, we are.
Well, praise God. Well, I am so happy. I was, I don't know what was heard before, but I am just so happy and elated that you have the desire to give your testimony. A lot of times we don't hear testimonies because people are like, I don't want to put my business out in the street. It's different, you know, I guess, in a church setting where, you know, you're familiar with people. But it's vitally important, I think, that we give our testimony of what the Lord is doing, because we don't know who that testimony will help, you know, inspire, bring back to the Lord. So as I say often, I don't want any rocks crying out for me, so I'm an open book. And that's what the Bible says, that we are open epistles read of men. So I just thank God for you, you know, being here. And just before you start giving your testimony, and it's not like a church setting, so our testimony is, I believe, our life and the things that we've gone through. But tell us a little bit about James Horn before you get started with it.
All right. Let's see. Well, I was I'm an only child of Willie and Alice Horn, born on the west side of '65, and parents were, my mom worked for Sears for many years, actually retired. My father worked for a bicycle company here in Chicago, and just had a loving home. You know, my father, you know, he would lay the hand down, very disciplined individual. My mother, very loving, very caring, always wanting the best for me. But, you know, as a result of that, I wanted, you know, that not to say that bling, but I wanted more, you know, because just the confines of the home and just doing things the right way. And, you know, once I got a taste of that, of money, it was addictive. And I just wanted more and more of it, you know, even though I had a great job and all of that good stuff. But, you know, I just wanted more. I graduated from high school. I mean, school was a breeze for me. You know, I went, but, you know, I didn't like it, but, you know, it was a breeze for me. It was a breeze for me. So I graduated from Proviso East in 1983. And after that, got employed with UPS for many years right out of high school, worked my way up from load truck to management, and had an awesome career. But, you know, I like I said, I love that fast money. I wanted that fast money, and got involved in the street life, and, you know, things kind of took off from there.
Amen. So you're an only child.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Well, I had an only child for a little while, and now I have grandsons that are only – well, now Malachi is not an only child, but – so I know that when I would go to the school for the parent-teacher conference, the teacher, the first thing the teacher would always say to me is, he's an only child, isn't he? So he did a lot of talking in school. He didn't have a lot of talking at home.
Okay.
So he did a lot of talking in school. Amen, amen. Well, honey, are you there? Did you? I can't. You're on? Okay. I can't hear you because I don't see you, so I can't put you on. But anyway, we're going to go into your testimony. Almost 30 minutes, but we're going to go into your testimony, Brother Horn. So I'm going to call you Pastor. You're not a pastor, are you? Or am I
Amen. I receive that. Amen.
All right. Well, we can go into your testimony.
All right. Well, like I said, I was working for UPS, and that's when I got involved in the selling of drugs. Started off selling marijuana. But again, I'm still going to work every day. I'm, you know, I'm working. I'm making great money at UPS, and really there was no need for me to do that. But like I said, it was the love of money. You know, the Bible tells you that the love of money is the root of all evil, and people so have it so misconstrued. They say money is the root of all evil, but it's the love of money. And so I had that love of money. I wanted that money, and so I you know, I hustled. You know, I hustled, and I did that for many, many years, and. Like I said, started off selling marijuana, started out, and then after that, cocaine, and after that, large quantities of it, and it just got to a point where my life, I knew God had a plan for my life, because I was brought up in the church. My mother, she didn't play that. You know, you get up in the morning on Sundays, you go into church, no matter what time I got in, or even as an adult, you know, even after my father died. You know, she, you know, I would stay out all night. I would come in the morning, and she was like, either you going to church or you're going to give me your keys, and, you know, you're going to go where you were last night, but you are going to go to church. So, you know, I had no choice. I had no choice in the matter because I'm under her roof, even as an adult. And I thank God for my mom after my father died, never giving up on me and her prayers. But as I progressed in the street life and also in the corporate America, I had the best of both worlds, so to speak. And, but it started to happen on the outside. People that I was associated with went to jail. People I was associated with died. Some died of overdoses. Some died of being murdered on the streets and things of that nature. And so after my father died in May of 1990, like things started to spiral out of control. I really didn't understand a lot of things that was going on. I was hurt. I was confused. And I started to get high, you know, higher per se. And it was like I did it so I could cope with life because I was missing my father. And I actually watched my father die in front of my face. And that really had a hard, it was a tough pill to swallow for me. And so as I progressed, I want to say in March of 92, March of 92, 93, I believe it was, things just really, really started to spiral out of control. And I had started using very, very heavily cocaine, pre-basing. And it had just got to a point where my mother at that point didn't want anything to do with me. She basically kicked me out the house, told me, you know, hey, I'm done with you. You're no longer my son. And it was way out, you know, to know that I did not have the love of my mother. Well, not to say didn't have it, but at that particular point, because her thing was that I love you, but you're not going to be now, with your disobedience. So I'll never forget. It was a Thanksgiving day, and I had been out for weeks, so hadn't eaten, cleaned myself up, any of that. And I came into the house, and I just wanted something to eat because I was hungry. You know, I had been out. And she looked at me. She didn't unlock the door. She opened the door. She looked at me, and she just kind of shook her head and closed the door and just told me to get out of here. You know, just go. That thing hurt me. You know how people used to say back in the day, that blew my high. That blew my high when she did that, you know. But the Bible tells us in the Psalms 119:71, it is good that I've been afflicted so that I may learn thy statutes. And that was just the starting point for me in getting my life back on track. At that point, that was an abandoned building that I had gained access to, and I went to that building. And it's so ironic that the building that I was staying in at that particular point was the same building I had smoked my first joint. And it was, you know, God, as I came up out of stuff, God brought me out of stuff, I should say. You know, it really was revealed to me how ironic that was. So as I stayed in that building, you know, and I got up, and one day I got up, and I started to look at my surroundings, and I could hear the voice of the Lord say, I have so much more for you. I have so much more for you. And, you know, being in an abandoned building after being raised, you know, the way I was raised and having access, you know, I'm used to shopping in Oakbrook, you know, and having the best of things, you know. So that's just the lifestyle I live. But as a result of sin, and disobedience, this was my life now. And, so I got up from that particular point, excuse me, and I started to walk on the expressway. And I was, you know, my mom had actually, prior to this episode, she had taken me down to the Kindergarten Mission and wanted me to, you know, start to get my life straight when they were on State Street. And I refused. Pride, you know, the Bible tells you pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And I'm like, man, I don't need this. You know, I ain't trying to stay in no homeless shelter. You know, And but God knew. And so as I started to walk on that expressway, I walked to this plane, got to this plane, and I was like, the Lord, you know, give me, how am I going to get down there, because I have no money. And I started practically begging, you know, asking people as they got off the train that were going to their cars, you know, can I get a transfer, you know, because at that time they weren't doing that. They were still doing the paper transfers. And so I couldn't, no one had one. And so all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this, I believe it was a young lady, and she got to her car and she was like, sir, forgive me, I do have one. And she gave it to me, and I was on my way. And I took that blue line down and got off at State Street and, you know, went to Fifth Garden Mission, got, you know, started to get my life in order. But I, you know, at that particular point, I still had trouble living a life. And I remember, I want to say it was March of 93. And for those who don't know, Pacific Garden Mission used to be at 646 South State Street. And I know people who used to see it when we would ride State Street, going to Schick Rick, going to the Click, you know, here in Chicago back in the day, and you would see that cross, Jesus Saves. Excuse me. And people don't realize that, but it was a Bible program. They had a Bible program on one side, and then the other side was the shelter, you know, for the transient men and women who were coming in and out of the place. You could get meals and stuff like that. So I never forget, Sister Billy, I was in this Bible class. I believe it was Christian Character. And the gentleman, the facilitator, had gave the invitation. And I had never heard it given like that. You know, being in church all my life, you always hear, you know, you want to be baptized, and, you know, you always hear about being baptized, but you never heard in the church about being born again during this time.
Yeah.
So he mentioned, he said, do you want to be born again? And what he did, the statement, the question that he asked, he said, if you die today, do you know where you're going? And that question just exploded in my mind. It was just like, well, no, I'm really not sure. And the way he let it out is that you have to be 100% sure, because if you're not 100% sure, then that inkling of doubt, you're going to go to hell. And I'm like, well, I don't want to go to hell, but I'm really not sure. And then he went on to say, he said, I'm not talking about being baptized, because baptism is an outward sign that you've been born again, that you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. So he went through the Romans road, Romans 10:9, 10:10, and 10:13. So he said, shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. So I raised my hand, because I wanted to be sure. You know, I didn't want to go to hell. And I raised my hand, and thank God I repented of my sins, confessed in my mouth, and believed that the Lord Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And at that point, I was born again, and I knew it. I knew it. And something happened at that point. You know, where I went through the Bible program, and, you know, just for time's sake, as I went through the Bible program, it was like everything that was wrong in my life started to become right. You know, just so many things happened. My relationship with my mother was restored. I was in a halfway house on the south side, and we weren't talking. She was, you know, she still was angry at some of the choices I made, but God be the glory. Out of nowhere, she called me. To this day, I still don't know how she got the number, but she called me. And that was the starting point of the reconciliation of our relationship. And you know, it was, like I said, it was such a blessing. It was such a blessing. And just things started to happen. And as a result of me being in the Bible program there, you actually had to stay there. So I got active in ministry down there, soul winning, evangelism on State Street. We would have to walk the streets and pass out gospel tracts and pray for people and things of that nature. So that was, you know, that was a blessing. And but any time when you want to do right, the enemy always tries to manipulate that plan of God. All the time.
Oh, yeah.
Genesis, Revelation, always trying to do that. So what he did, he allowed me to be infected with tuberculosis while I was down there. And as a result of that, I had to be quarantined. They sent me to Northwestern Medical Center here in Chicago. They didn't know what was wrong with me. And they finally gave their diagnosis. And they told me I had tuberculosis. And they told me I would never work again. And I could claim disability and this, that, and the other. And so, excuse me, as a result of being in Pacific Garden Mission, let me just share something with you, is that they, you have to memorize scripture, you know, and that was how you were able to go from one level to the next level by memorizing scripture. And so the Bible tells you, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So little did I know, God was setting me up. You see what I'm saying? Because now, even though there were days where I didn't like to be there, but in order for me to stay there, I had to memorize the scripture, you know. So, like I said, God was truly setting me up. And as a result of my faith being, you know, that ammunition of the word of God being in my spirit, I couldn't accept that, you know, I would never work again, you know, I would have to be on disability and this, that, and the other. So, long story short, God miraculously healed me from TB. Those who don't know, TB is an infection of your lungs where it's hard to breathe and so on and so forth. And when I did take the TB test, that thing swelled up like a golf ball on my arm. But to this day, I take many of chest x-rays and nothing is there. Nothing is there. Right after that, I was diagnosed with sarcoidosis. Sarcoidosis is some type of deficiency of the lungs as well. And that's the same disease Bernie Mac, the entertainer, comedian Bernie Mac, died from. I was taking medicine for that. Prednisone is called. And I remember, as a result of that, I was working downtown, and this prednisone just had me real nervous. It's a steroid. And so I just said, in the name of Jesus, I'm healed. And I could hear the voice of the Lord say, throw that medicine away. I'm going to heal you. So I threw it away, and I went back to the doctor, and they couldn't find anything. They couldn't find it. It was gone. It was gone. So, you know, I'm blessed because you know, God's word, it doesn't return void. It won't return void. It shall not return void. So, as I went through that, but I had an issue when I got out of the mission and I went back to church. Started going to church. At that time, churches weren't user-friendly as they are today, you know, disability, because now churches are very open to those individuals who have been in the street and, you know, so on and so forth. They're very receptive now. But when I went through it, they were very standoffish. You know, it was like you were looked upon as you had to play. You know, that bothered me. And that honestly, it hurt my self-esteem, because it's just like, man, I thought this was the place I'm supposed to be, because Jesus said, you know, I'm not here to heal those that are well. I'm here to heal the sick, you know. And so what well person wants to go to a hospital? There's no need, you know. So as a result of that, I started to backslide, and I got back into the same things that I was doing before, fornication and selling drugs, using drugs, the whole bit. But, you know, how many of you know that you can't run from God? It just won't work. And so as a result of that, you know, God spoke to me, and I went to a T.D. Jakes Manpower Conference out in Florida, Tampa, St. Pete, Florida. And I was going to church. I was living the life, but not so much living the life. You know, I was like a pretender, so to speak. You know, on the outside, it was all good, but on the inside, I was hurting and just going through some challenges. But I went to this T.D. Jakes Manpower Conference, and I'll never forget, he ministered a sermon at one of these sessions, Get It Off Your Chest. And he came from the book of Ecclesiastes, where it says, anger resteth in the bosom of a fool. And as a result of that, he was talking about we as men, we have so much anger on the inside of us, and if we don't release it and get it right, then what's going to happen is that our lives are not going to be right, because it's like the plague, because everybody we touch is going to be affected by that anger. And so I went up for the altar call during that time, and it was a massive altar call. And I had never been to an event of this magnitude. You have 20,000 to 30,000 men in the stadium lifting their hands talking about Jesus. And it just blew me away. You know, I was just like, man, this is incredible. So I went up there, and I want to say this was about we jump into probably around 2001, somewhere in there. And as a result of that, I went up there, and I cried like a baby. And Lord just really released some things or shared some things with me about, you know, some of my ways and how he wanted to use me and this and that. And so, I mean, I just cried like a baby. So got that thing out. And as a result, I got up. The Holy Spirit instructed me to go to the back of the stadium and start praising me, start worshiping me. So I did that. And as a result of that, I had always asked the Lord, I said, Lord, when you impart unto me the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues and your spiritual gift, I want you to do it, you know. And, you know, Sister Billy, a lot of times, you know, you go to church and men and women lay hands on you, and there's nothing wrong with that because it's scriptural, and you'll receive that gift. But I wanted God to do it. I wanted God to show himself real. And, man, I asked for it, Sister Billy, and that's what he gave me.
Amen.
That's what he gave me. So I went to the back of that stadium, and in the spirit, I could see a hand coming over upon me. And as a result of that, I was out, literally. In the stadium with over 30,000 people in it, I was out, you know. And as I was out, I could see in the spirit that angels were laying hands on me, and they were praying for me. And as I got up out of that, and I was just kind of drunk in the spirit, you know, wobbling around like, what the heck just happened to me? And so the Holy Spirit say, I'm going to prove to you that I've given you that gift. So I'm like, okay. So one of the brothers that was with our group, he's about 6'5", 6'6", big dude. And he said, I want you to go over there, and I want you to lay hands on him. And I'm like, huh? And they were already praying for him when I got back to the group. And so when I put my hand on his stomach, that brother, whoosh, he went back. And I pulled my hand back like, oh, my God, what just happened? And at that point, the Holy Spirit said, you got it. Got it. Got it. Got it. And it was just mind-blowing. It was just mind-blowing, you know. And so ever since that point, you know, God gave me that gift, and I utilize it quite regularly in the morning in my devotions and, you know, even when we were having so-called technical difficulties, I was using it. So, you know, just, you know, binding and loosing, because I know that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So,
How old were you? How old were you when you smoked your first joint?
I was in seventh grade.
Seventh grade.
I was in seventh grade. Yeah, seventh grade, and what was so compelling for me at that time, it smelled good. I'm like, man, what is that smell? You know, and
really, you thought it smelled good?
I thought, yeah. I mean, at that time, it smelled really good. That's what taught me is the scent. I'm just like, man, it smells good, and so you know, Yeah.
Well, we know that was a trick of the enemy because it does
not right.
Lion spirit, lying to you, talking about
absolutely. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So, yeah.
Well, I don't know. I have callers on, and I'm going to bring them on, but I don't know Brother James personally, but we are connected through a cousin of mine that was a big-time drug dealer there in Chicago on the west side, and now is a man of God that,
he is, as zealous
as he was in his drug dealing
and the things
of the world. That's how he is with the Lord. And it's such a blessing, you know, there is a thing called, help me, honey, but let me get my husband on. I see him on. 7 degrees of separation where we're seven people away from someone that we need to know or something that we need to have. Honey, you're on. You're on now. And I thank God for, you know, just allowing you to come on and share this story, because there are people out there that I admire your mother, because to put your only child out, you know, that's what they call tough love. Yes, that's what they call tough love. And had she not done that, you still may be in your mess. You know, had she not demonstrated that tough love with you, you still might be in the situation that you were in. But thank God for her, you know, doing that. And that's a blessing. And to be delivered from the things that you have been delivered from. And you've been married, right? You've been married?
Yes. Yes, I got married in June of 2002. We got divorced in it was actually final last year. And prior to that, in March of 2011, when I was married, and God just really moved. During that time, from 2002, I went back to school. I got me an associate's in paralegal. Then I went to National Lewis and obtained a bachelor's of business management, went to school, got a Six Sigma for Six Sigma project management, and I used to travel for various Fortune 500 companies and do various projects all across the country, and God was blessing. I mean, you know, we bought a home together, and back in 2011, what happened in 2000, let me just go back real quick, 2000, my mom was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And they gave her like 48 hours to live, but by the glory of God, by the grace of God, God extended her life, and she went home to be with the Lord in March of 2011, March 15, 2011. She passed here at the house, and you know, it was mind blowing because this was my girl, and you know, she was more than a mother. She was, some days she would be a sister, some days, you know, she was my friend, and we had a great relationship, you know, because my prayer was that Lord allow me to be there for her, the way that she was there for me. And he honored that, Sister Philly. I mean, he honored that. Anything she needed, God was always make sure that I had it to be a blessing to her. You know, and it was a blessing to take care of my mother. It was a blessing. And as a result of that, my wife in 2011, her father passed of cancer, and then her aunt died of cancer that same year. And it was rough. It was rough, you know. When people are hurting, they lash out at one another because they don't know what to do. And so we were at one another, and so it just, you know, things fell apart. Things fell apart. And so I was very strong. I really wanted it to work because I know that with God, all things are possible. But unfortunately, it didn't. And as a result of that, I fell into a very, very deep depression because, as a result of my mother passing, I was grieving, and I really didn't have the opportunity to grieve because I was trying to salvage my marriage. And so once that happened, it was down. Hello?
I'm still
there?
Here.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, and so as a result of that, you know, I fell into a very, very deep depression. And just, you know, I would come home from work, and the curtains were closed. I turned the phone off, or, you know, I wouldn't answer the phone, or, you know, it was just crazy. It was just really, really crazy. It was just crazy. And the doctor had given me painkillers because I was so stressed out to the point where my neck, I couldn't really, you know, bend my neck. And, you know, she gave me some muscle relaxers, so I was taking muscle relaxers and alcohol, drinking alcohol, sleeping pills. And honestly, Sister Billy, I'm going to be really real with those. I mean, I wanted to die because I was tired of hurting. I was tired of the pain. You know, I missed my mother. I missed my marriage. And I was hurting. As a result of that, you know, there's no shame in my game. I tried to get up out of here. I really did. I took some sleeping pills. And I had laid out my suit because I lived here by myself in my parents' house. I had wrote an obituary, and I put my insurance policy in my pocket, the suit that I wanted to be buried in and everything. And so I was like, man, I'm out of here. Skip this, you know. And but as the story goes, it didn't work. And I took over, I want to say, it was probably like 13 or 14 kills. And but, you know, to God be the glory, it didn't work. It didn't work. It didn't work. And I'm still here. I'm still here.
Amen.
So,
Amen.
Yep.
Well, there is hope in the Lord a lot of times when we're hurting. Instead of us running to God, we run away from Him. And,
absolutely.
I know a lot of us have that testimony, you know, when things just overpower us. That the Bible tells us to look unto the hills, which just means look up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look to the Lord. Don't run from Him. But a lot of times we do. But then God can use that to show someone else, even at your darkest hour, I can bring you out, like He did Job.
Yes.
He brought Job from a place that was so dark, you know, even his friends turned against him. But then God brought him up and out of it. So I thank God for you and sharing your testimony with us. I have some callers on. I'm going to open up the line. So are you willing to answer some questions?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Amen, amen. And these are 708 numbers, so a couple of them. And so I'm going to open up the line, 708, and the last four digits are 3556. So, honey, did you want to say something before I open up the line? Okay. All righty. So 708355. My computer is acting real sluggish today. And so let me turn him off. Okay. And 708-3556, are you there? Wait, your microphone is not opened up yet. I don't know what's happening with my computer this morning. Maybe because it's so supposed to be getting rain today. Are you there? 3556. Okay, you don't have to say anything. God bless you. God bless you for joining in with us this morning. You're probably here to support Brother Horn, and thank you for calling in and being with us today. We have another caller that's a 708, and that last four digits is 5507. Are you there, caller? 708-5537-5507. My computer, again, is acting real sluggish, but your mic is open now. Are you there, caller? Okay. Well, amen. Thank you for calling in also. thank you for joining in with us. So that the last two that I have, I know one is our head evangelist, Evangelist Adrian Bernard, and she is over New Destiny Ministries. And I didn't get a chance to do that this morning, but you did get a chance to call in. I talked to a couple of people because I was kind of panicked this week. My guest that was supposed to be on today had some previous engagement, so she wasn't able to be on. So I was like panicked, so I was calling around and trying to find someone to come on, and I connected with two people. So let me see. You are Derek, Tinker. That was his street name, Tinker Associate. I don't think you guys were real close, were you?
Yes.
You were close? Okay. Amen. Okay, but I'm going to bring Evangelist Bernard on open up her mic so that she can say something to you. I don't know what's happening today.
The devil is a lie. No weapon formed against this program, this ministry, shall prosper in the name of Jesus.
Amen, amen. Are you there, Evangelist Bernard?
Yes, I am. Praise the Lord, Minister Billy and Elder Burns, and to your guests. It's just so wonderful to be able. I wasn't awoke, but you all woke me up, so I'm on it now. But I thank God for that. Thank God for that testimony. You know, it's ironic. Well, it's really not ironic, but it is, because our topic this week on our radio broadcast, you know, we're on Monday through Friday, and we have been talking about healing relationships.
Okay.
And this week, I named it Main Power Week, because we had some great men of God that was on the whole week. You know, Tuesday,
okay,
I had a chance to expound a little bit on healing relationships. And Bishop Patterson, Corinthus Patterson, he's a Chicagoan. Well, 2 days we had two Chicagoans on the line, Bishop Jesse Grant, and then Bishop Patterson on Thursday. And what is your guest's name?
Oh, I know Jesse Grant. I think I know him.
Okay, well, Bishop Patterson said he knew him too. So anyway, I met him on Facebook, Bishop Grant, and I'm telling you, just a marvelous, wonderful man of God. He is just awesome, anointed. And I tell you, what's your guest name, Sister Minister Billy?
James Horn.
Well, bless the Lord for you, Elder. I tell you, just listening on all this week, as those men of God had different perspectives on healing relationships, and, you know, even from our childhood, even up to adulthood, the different scenarios that we have had to live through. And on Thursday, I tell you, I was full all week, but I went back and I had to revisit some things pertaining to, you know, my situation, and, you know, losing my daughter was murdered. And, well, first of all, my son murdered a boy, and he was in prison. And 4 days later, my daughter was murdered, and she was trying to comfort me about the situation with my son, not knowing that 4 days later, her boyfriend shot and killed her. So I had she left four children. Then of course, Billy and them know the story. Then I just want to share with some of the listeners this morning, if it's okay with Minister Burns. And just piggybacking on all of that, what you said and your loss, we all process loss differently. And, you know, me having a child that was murdered, my process is a little bit different than somebody losing a child through natural causes. And so as Bishop Patterson began to talk on Thursday, I just kind of had to revisit some of those areas. And, you know, when you're involved, when you're associated and you're really engrossed in a church, I'll say church, and you've given your all, and you know people in the church. I heard you say how we weren't, today's society, it is a user-friendly church, but
yes,
back
ma'am.
Then, you know, it was fire, hell, and brimstone.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
what we were
yes,
taught, you know, and anything
yes,
we
ma'am.
Did, you know, it all revolved around you're going to hell, you know. You're
yes,
going to
ma'am.
Burn in hell.
Right.
So we
right.
did a lot of things out of ignorance, even getting the Holy Ghost. I heard how you said you wanted the Holy Ghost. Back then when I came in, you know, you had to get on your knees and call out Jesus a million times and you know, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, and hallelujah. And then you
yeah.
get still. But as you grow in this thing and you mature and you begin to get in that word and search it for yourself, then
yes,
you find out all of those tools that they used in the 19th century, it's really not, it wasn't biblical. Just
mm-hmm.
to be real
mm-hmm.
with you, it was not biblical. So just to hear your testimony this morning to let the people that are listening and those maybe that will tune in later to know that there is nothing impossible to God. But
mm-hmm.
we have to seek God for another method to this
mm-hmm.
madness, because we're losing our children. And,
yes, ma'am.
You know, we can't use 19th century tools to deal with
mm-hmm.
a 21st century ministry.
That's so true.
We have to shift. We have to seek God daily for new ways to reach these children. We're not here to stay. And some of us get comfortable. You know, the Bible said, where this world has a loose garment, we can't get too attached to the things of this world. And I'm finding Minister Burns and Elder Burns, as I continue to evolve, that, you know, we missing the mark. There's so many things I was sharing with Bishop Patterson, you know, coming into holiness, and, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that. Hadn't put on a pair of earrings in 20-some-odd years, because this is the thing that they were teaching that you needed to refrain from to see God. So,
yeah.
you know, it's just a... It's crazy, but I tell you, we just got to come together. I thank God for you and God dealing with you and giving you another opportunity to seek him with all your heart, mind, body, and soul. But it is a difficult thing when you lose something and someone precious to you. You know, you have to, it's just like being born again. You know,
yes,
you have to go through the experiences of learning how to love again, learning how to listen, learning how to apply these principles,
mm-hmm.
these statutes that are in our manual. The Bible is our manual. You know, and God, a man have their own set of instructions and guidelines, but this Bible is our blueprint, and if we follow it and if we continue to let God just minister to our heart, we can certainly be able to enjoy life. I heard you say where you just wanted to end it. Well, the Lord dealt with me differently with my loss because of me having those kids. And I didn't have a place, like you said, you didn't have a place to retreat to where you're able to grieve. I didn't have that. But now with all of those kids, I have my last grandson now, he's 16 years old. With all of them gone, I'm seeing some of those emotions beginning to rise again. But I know better now how to deal with them. But you have no control of when they come up on you. You have no control of that. So it can happen at any moment, I tell you. So I just thank God for, you know, I woke up for a reason, and that testimony has really encouraged me. And I thank God for Elder Burns and Minister Burns. We've been friends for over 14, 15 years now, and I just thank God for what he's doing. I see how he's using Elder Burns and Minister Burns, and I'm just so happy that God has given us this platform where we can hear testimonies and we can share our experiences where they can help somebody else and encourage them and empower them where they'll be able to pursue their destiny. So I just enjoyed the testimony, and I'm glad to just be one of those that God has called into this wonderful light. God bless you, man of God.
God bless you.
Amen, amen. And I was thinking as you were talking, Evangelist Adrian, that we are our forefathers, and I was discussing this with someone, I think, on last week or week before last, that our forefathers did not come up with those rules and regulations to, some of it was control, but a lot of it, I believe, was they just wanted us to be close to God. They didn't want us to, you know, go to the left or to the right. They wanted us to walk, but they wanted us, they were trying to make us walk the straight and narrow. And then as they became more educated, then the Bible says that when you see the light, walk therein. So now we're walking in more light. We have more revelation of what God's word is saying to us. And you're right. The church was not a friendly church back in our forefathers' days. It was even in some of our younger days. I don't know if I share it with you, if I was share it with the other brother that's going to be a guest, that when I got saved, I never wore gaudy stuff. I always wore little petite stuff, like little maybe a little diamond in my ear or something, a very small ring. But when I got saved and I went in and talked to the pastor, and he said, you have to take that ring off. And I'm looking at this little ring. I'm like, had I not even showed it to you, you may not, well, probably because he was, you know, looking at me, but, you know, would even notice that I had the ring on. It was so small, but I wanted to be saved, and I wanted to do what they told me to do. So I did that, but now we don't have that. I talk to some young women now, and they're like, you know, you can't tell them anything, which is, that's a bad thing. But anyway, as we grow in the Lord, we ought to be able to ask the Lord, or we should ask the Lord, how to deal with, you know, deal with the times that we're living in now. We fight. You know, we fight. We fight some of the gospel singers, and I hear them saying, you know, this is to draw our generation. It's not for your generation. It's to draw our generation. But the enemy has us fighting one another, and that's mm-hmm. the bottom line. We fight one another, you know, in the body, and that's a plan of the enemy to keep us separated and to keep us from obtaining what God has for us. But then you, James, are in, Adrian and I are in the same generation. You are in a little younger generation than
yes, ma'am.
We are.
Yes, ma'am.
And
yes, ma'am.
You have to deal with, you the people that you reach are going to be your peers.
Yes.
So as you grow in the Lord and are able to deal with your peers and able to teach the younger ones how to deal with their peers, that's what we have to do. We always have to be ever learning in this thing on how to handle, how to deal with situations that come up, how to deal with people. You know, prior, it was, if you fail, you were told not to come to church. You know,
right,
don't
right,
come
right,
and
right.
Sit up in God's house and you know you sin it. But like you said in your testimony, where am I supposed to go? I'm
right.
So I have to go to the hospital, and the hospital is the church.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Understand
yep.
me how to deal with me, you know, how to deal with me. But because you've had that situation, James, because you knew that the church was not friendly to you and
uh-huh.
what you were in. Now that has given you compassion, I'm sure, for
uh-huh.
someone else and that's hurting, that's
mm-hmm.
outside
yeah.
of, you know, maybe walking
yeah.
with God, but not, you know, not really, you know, I won't say being a hypocrite, because I don't feel that you were being a hypocrite. I feel like you were just, you know, floundering and had no direction and had no one really to deal with you until you came. And I know that missions downtown, I've years and years
mm-hmm.
That downtown missions, and you said that they're not down there anymore?
They've moved now. They sold the land under the Daley administration. They did a land swap. So Jones Commercial has that land, and they've expanded their high school there. And they moved the mission on to Canal. It's on Canal, 1400 South Canal now, right off Roosevelt Road.
Okay. A little further down. Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Yes, ma'am. They wanted to get it out of the mainstream per se.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, that's unfortunate, but
It really is
because I know that I haven't heard of any success stories because, of course, I wasn't dealing with in that kind of ministry, but I know that just hearing what you're saying, that they did take you through a program. I know when I was there in Chicago, I did ministry with the Catholic charities, and we ministered to women that were ex-drug addicts, and it was a home for them and their children. And so we did ministry. They had to do a theology class, and we taught the theology class. A sister from my church and myself, and I thoroughly enjoyed that. But it led to a lot of women, not everybody, because you're not going to reach everybody. But it led to a lot of women that got saved and then went on to, you know, help other women. I had a guest. I don't know if you know Charlene. Charlene, she was.
I remember Charlene. Yes, she went. She went to Pivot Point. I know Charlene. Yes.
Yes. You telling me that? Yes, Charlene now is clean and living for the
Amen.
Lord. And
Amen.
And just,
Amen.
Just a, you know, just a blessing. Someone was able to reach out to her and touch her. And now you're in ministry, and just share with us what you're doing now that the Lord has.
Well, right now I attend Living Word Christian Center here in Chicago. Bill Winston is the pastor. Yes, ma'am. And I'm actually a member of the leadership team for the men's prayer ministry. We get together every Saturday morning here from 9:30 to 10:30, and we pray. You know, as men, we come together and we pray. And excuse me. And also, Lord has led me to start writing a book regarding my journey back from divorce. And what God has shown me is that the focus is all, and please don't take this the wrong way, but the focus has always been in society to focus on the needs of the woman as far as after the divorce is concerned. But the Bible says those two shall become one. And with divorce, what God has shown me is that it's a death in the spirit realm because, you know, marriage is an institution, and now the institution has died now. And so when those two now have become one, and now those one are going back to being two, there's a part of me and her and me. And so as a result of that, the focus, the attention has always been on the female and getting her back up and running, but there has no attention or been given to the male. And with the male being the head, God said that's a lot of times what happens is that's why, you know, men go through so many marriages and so many women because they haven't been healed from that first marriage. And so his desire is that this book, once it's finished, is that it will be a blessing to men all around this country and this world, where they'll be able to know some of those signs where they can truly get what they need to get from the Lord, because everything we need is in Him. Everything we need is in Him. So that's where I am right now, and so I'm loving life. I'm laughing again, and I'm enjoying my life, and I'm just grateful to God for another opportunity. I mean, I passed my second chance a long time ago, but I'm just grateful now for another chance. So
thank God, and He's a God of chance after chance. We never run out of. I often say, if He tells us to forgive our brothers 7 times 70, how many times is He willing to forgive us?
Right, exactly. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Amen. Amen. And I am a Facebook advocate. I really enjoy Facebook. I know there's a lot of mess on Facebook, but I view as now that we're friends, you'll see that, you know, I am actively on Facebook, and please promote your book. I saw that you had put it on there that you were going to be doing this book, or that you were in the process of writing the book. Promote your book on Facebook. Promote it so that people, you know, will be able to know. To me, that's what Facebook. That's not, I guess, the design. I looked at the movie about Facebook, and it was developed just for mess.
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely.
and a lot of people, that's what they use it for, but that's not what I use it for. I use it to promote the kingdom and to get thoughts out there, you know, and to let people know that, you know, God is real. He's real in my life, and he can be real in your life. So I just thank God for the broadcast. I thank you, Sister Adrienne. We were having a little problem, and that's why we had to wake you up this morning to see if we can get it straight. But I think it's something to do with the weather here. I have wireless service, so maybe that's the problem that we were having with the wireless service. But thank God for you waking up and giving us some help to get the program going. And I thank God for you, James, for coming on. And I know that these are guests of yours with the 708, because I know that that is a Chicago number, 708. So thank God for them tuning in this morning. And please, I just want everyone to share the broadcast with your friends. I say share it with your friends, share it with your family, and share it with your enemies, because we never know who needs to hear, you know, a testimony of what God is doing in someone's life. Sometimes, like you said, James, maybe if you had a broadcast like this when you were going through your depression and when you wanted to end your life, if you were able to tune into something to hear how someone was able to, you know, God was able to bring them up out of, you know, that state of wanting to end their life, and now using you in ministry, it might have helped you along in the process of the grieving that you were doing. And that's why we're here. We're here because I believe that everyone needs to know that God is still in the delivering business. He's still in the healing business. He's still, you know, making ways out of no way. He's still doing all of those things. And that's why we're here, and that's why the Lord developed us and allowed Sister Adrienne to help allow us to be able to get on the air to, you know, to promote his kingdom, and that's what we're doing. And honey, I want you to say something. He's here. He's not saying anything. He's being real quiet today. He is here with me. He didn't have to work today. He has been working these last few Saturdays. And okay, you're on day. You're on day.
First of all, allowing the broadcast to go forth today.
We can't hear you.
Yeah, that's bad. I just appreciate what God has done for us today, bringing the broadcast forth. And even though Satan tried to hinder us, but you can't stop God. And I just thank God for you, Brother James. I appreciate the testimony that you gave and how part of it even spoke to me and my experience. We have a group that meets in our home and out of our church. And recently we went through a series where we were just talking about how we share our story with the world. Yeah, I just thank God for this venue, how we're able to share great stories with the world. But as we all, as group members, were assigned to kind of put together what our story is, there were several of us that grew up in the church and really just kind of felt like we didn't have a story. And there were times that I just felt like, you know, I really don't have a testimony like that because I wasn't, I didn't do drugs, I wasn't this, I wasn't that. So how can I really share with people where they are? But one of the things you said that really touched me is that even though I grew up in the church, one thing I did realize is that the church wasn't necessarily in me for all of that time.
Okay.
I think you used the word that you were being a good pretender. And
yes,
you know that's
absolutely
where I was.
Okay.
You know, just I knew all the church stuff, the, you know, the lingo,
yes,
the acts,
yes,
and that. But I can remember just one evening, a minister, an evangelist coming in. As I went up for an altar call, he just looked me straight in my eye and spoke straight into my heart, and he just said, "Burns," he said, "you've been in this church, you know, all your life. It's just time for you to be doing what God has for you to do." And from that time, that was my turnaround. That's when I just came to the realization that I think another thing you said is that we're there in the church because God has planned for us. And you just said so many rich things. So people just have to understand, no matter what kind of condition they're in, if they have any kind of relationship with the church, any kind of relationship with members of the church, with other Christians, it's because God has you there because there is a plan for your life. Now let's just go about the business of doing what God wants us to do and then just basking in the blessings of those things. As God has certainly, based on your testimony, been a blessing to you. And I just hope and pray that the world understands or receives the words that you had, letting us know that God can do anything. You know, you talked about your second chance, and certainly, as my wife gave the scripture, how that Jesus said that we should forgive 7 times 70 in a day. Well, what we have to also understand is that we're made in God's image. So if we in his image are to forgive one another 7 times 70 in a day, then that's what he's going to do for us. And even more. So we can't do enough to discourage God from doing what in us what he would have us to do. So he's always there. All we got to do is look to him. I just thank God for your testimony. Thank you for coming on, and I'm going to give it back to our host.
Okay. Amen.
I'm not gone, but I can't. My mic is not open. It is? Oh, okay. It doesn't look like it. Okay. Well, thank you, honey, for those words. We so enjoy hearing the testimony. And like I said, in my panic mode, I talked to so many people this week about being on the broadcast, but I was saying, they were saying, well, we know that it's a blessing. This has been a blessing for your listeners. And I said, well, I don't get a lot of people that call in, and that's why I have guests now. I know that the Lord is going to open up the door because I know that this is a great avenue that people need. But I said, if nobody else gets blessed, I certainly am blessed from listening to, you know, the testimonies of the guests or some callers that call in and give their testimonies. But I am so blessed, you know, to know that my God is doing the things that he's doing in the lives of his people and in the lives of everyone. Actually, you know, we say that he's doing, you know, he's blessing his people, but he blesses everybody. It's
yes.
just that you don't recognize, you know, if you're not, as we used to call it, in the way, you don't recognize
mm-hmm.
that the blessings that you enjoy are coming from God.
Okay.
So good
yes.
blessing, not every blessing, because every blessing is not leading you to, you know, the Lord. It's to keep you away from the Lord. And so,
mm-hmm.
anyway, just thank God for you coming on. Now, you have a son. You,
mm-hmm.
as I was looking for you on Facebook, and I asked you, do you have a little baby? You said, oh, no.
No. I have a 17-year-old. He actually lives with his mother. I'm on the south side of Chicago. He's 17. He'll be a senior in high school this year. So he's a good kid. I'm grateful for that. He knows my testimony, and, you know, so he knows what Dad has been through. So, you know, that's my buddy. That's my mini-me. So he's a good guy. Good guy.
Amen. Well, I am going to, honey, do you have anything else that you want to say? Evangelist Adrian, are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay. Do you have anything else you want to say? Please listen to the broadcast. I was listening and was being really blessed, but had 2 days in a row the Lord used me to pray for someone, and so I wasn't able to tune in to the broadcast. But you can always go into the archives and listen to the broadcast from the beginning of its inception, which has been almost 2 years ago, right, Sister Adrian?
Yes, almost 2 years. The Lord has really blessed, and we certainly want to invite your listeners to tune in next week. We will be continuing this series on healing.
Are you still on her phone? She must have dropped. But do tune in to the broadcast, New Destiny Ministries. She's had some awesome speakers, and just listen to the archives and be blessed. They were on relationships. Was that you, James, that I invited to listen, and you listened in, or was that
yes,
the other?
Yes, ma'am. No,
that
was yes, yes, ma'am. Yes,
uh-huh. Okay. Yes, so she has some awesome, and the Lord just, you know, our forefathers did not embrace TV when it came out. They said that it was of the devil. And I hear a lot of old ministers that said that, you know, looking back, they know that that was a mistake.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system. 209271.
That am I still on? I have several friends that are pastors, and I was telling one dear friend this week about Blog Talk Radio. You know, you want to be broadcasting, but it costs so much to broadcast. But this is a good vehicle And it's not that expensive. I mean, it entails some expense, but it's not that expensive for you to get on and, you know, let the world know what your ministry is doing. And this is something that this vehicle is something that is open to anyone. So I just want to put it out there. Look into Blog Talk Radio. Also, I am a member of Streaming. I'm not exactly sure what the whole title is, but I listen to ministries on there. I listen to Bishop George Bloomer. I don't know if you know.
Yes. Out of North Carolina.
Yes. I listen to his. He streams on Tuesdays and Sundays, his Sunday morning service. He streams also. And I don't think that's a very expensive vehicle either. But this is a great vehicle to get out there. And we're heard around the world on Blog Talk Radio, and I'm sure on streaming also. You heard around the world. We had a caller from the UK that called in to verify, you know, that we're heard around the world. So these are great vehicles. Let's not miss the chance to use them. I thank God that Sister Adrian was able to get some time on here, and she has a whole week. And to go into the archives, it's New Destiny Ministries, and Adrian Bernard is the host. And so you would just look her up on when you go into Blog Talk Radio, to hear her blog. And you can also hear They Overcame also. We're in the archives also, so you can listen to it anytime, seven days a week, 24 hours a day. But as we learned on a couple of weeks ago, that the Lord designed the Sabbath for us to rest. And a lot of us don't take the opportunity to rest on that day, to just commune with God. I mean, we commune with God every day, but to commune with God and to rest. We use that day as to, okay, I didn't get this done during the week, so let me do this now. But we learn through that, honey, are you still there? We learn through that refreshes us and allows us to get things done that we would not have gotten done, you know, in our hurry on Sunday. Honey, you want to?
Yeah, I was, and we were all blessed by that series of teaching, how that God really created us in with a cycle of 24/6. The reference was that how that He spent 6 days working, creating this world, and then on the seventh day, he rested. Not that God needed rest, because all power in heaven and on earth is in his hand. He is the power. He is the source. But as an example to us, that our cycle also should be the 24/6, or 6 days to do all that we have to do, and on the seventh day should be a day of refreshing, a day that is to be kept holy, sanctified, for the purpose of just regrouping, refreshing, spending time in his presence, being refreshed, being renewed. And unfortunately, we're caught up and allow ourselves to be caught up in a, as the phrase goes, 24/7 world, 24/7 society. So there's this stuff going on all the time, and you know, sometimes we hear people give the expression, "I just need another day in this week or in the week to get everything done." But no, what we need to do is, according to what God said, not look for another day or wish for another day, but to take a day of activity off so that we can be fresh to do all remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And as we studied that and looked at how God even gave the commandments, some of the what we call the big commandments were just one-liners. Thou shalt not kill. That's a big deal. Killing is one of the big commandments. But that was just a one-liner. But when he spoke about keeping the Sabbath day holy, there was a whole paragraph that he gave in giving that commandment. That says something about how important that commandment is. So that 6 days shalt thou do all your labor, but on the seventh day rest, keep it holy. And it's not only, in fact, Jesus said, the Sabbath was not, man was not created for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was created for man. What God designed in that seventh day for us is for us, a ministry to us, a refreshing, bringing us back, getting us ready for the new week. And it takes some discipline. It takes some thought. It takes some, we really have to kind of organize ourselves and say, okay, here's what we got to do. We got these 6 days to do it in, because on the seventh day, we're going to let the Sabbath minister unto us, let the Lord minister unto us as we just rest and are renewed by his Spirit. So it was a great deal, a great teaching, opened up my eyes that it's okay to just sometimes sit down, relax, and it's not just the relaxing, but it's just a refreshing, spending time in the presence of God.
Amen.
Billy?
Yes.
Oh, praise the Lord. We have Sister Ruby is on the line. Were you able to see her number?
Let me go down.
She pulled up the switchboard for you just as a backup.
Okay.
Her last, she's a 209 number.
I'm seven. Sister Ruby, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Praise the Lord, Minister Billy and your husband. It's a blessing. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I had about three or four callers on there. You kept calling, they were on. And I have a couple of numbers. So once you close out your broadcast, I'll give it back to you. I think your host number is 312-994.
Yes, ma'am. That is correct.
Praise the Lord. With Minister James Horn, I heard your testimony, and it was just a blessing. Evangelist Bernard called me to pull up the switchboard, and I'm saying, well, Minister Billy is not calling my number. Maybe it's not coming up on her screen, but on here I have everybody's number. But I just praise the Lord, a little testimony. I just praise the Lord for your testimony today, because he says he's married to the backslider, and he will move our stumbling blocks. And I just thank him for bringing you on. I think I heard Minister Billy schedule, or your schedule, or whatever. But the Lord have us to go through our trials and tests so that we can minister to his precious people out there, because we have to have we have to go through in order to have a testimony. So I've just been truly blessed coming on today. Normally I don't come on, but pray my strength in the Lord. And Minister Billy, finish, I'll call you and give you the numbers that were up on the screen. Praise the Lord.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for waking up. I'm sorry, they're in California, so it's very early for them. It's 5 o'clock in the morning their time. So thank you,
wow.
for doing that for us. It's such a blessing, and she's been such a blessing too. Sister Adrian also, so we just thank God for you, Sister Ruby, and all that you do for the Lord. And the Lord rewards us for the things that we do. We sometimes don't think that, you know, our sacrifices and our labor is rewarded, but God rewards us in so many ways that we don't even know sometimes, you know, a headache that was coming our way, or you know, some bad news that was coming our way, something happening with our children, with our loved ones, you know, that God blocks because of his blessing us, you know, for the things that we do. So we just thank God and pray God continue to bless you, Sister Ruby, for all that you do for the kingdom. Because it's not to glorify anyone. It's not to glorify Evangelist Bernard. It's not to glorify my husband or myself or even, you know, our guests, but to give God the glory and the honor that is due his name. So we just thank God for everybody. I see, Sister Ruby, I do have the numbers, and I did call them, but they didn't say anything. I'm going to give them a chance again. Just in case we just were not able to. I'm having problems with my service, though, I guess because it's so cloudy outside that the service is kind of delayed. It's taking a long time for me to click people off and to turn their mics on. But 708-5507. And I thank you for being long-suffering with us, James. Today, we
yes, ma'am.
started off kind of rough, but thank you for being long suffering with us. Your testimony
no
is true. It's really a blessing. It's really a blessing to hear what God is doing. And see, I'm not able to connect with them, or maybe I am able to connect with them. Are you there? 708-5507. No. Okay. Well, again, thank you for tuning in and to hear the testimony. Do you recognize that number, James? 708-5507. Did I lose you, James? Hello? Is anybody there?
I'm still here.
Amen, 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 amen. And here's my grandson, Malachi. You want to say hello to everybody, Malachi?
Hi.
He's here visiting us from South Carolina, and my baby, he's been here with me for a couple of weeks and just enjoying him. He's very, very busy though, so but enjoying having him around. Well, we're going to in the broadcast. I just have circles spinning around where I'm trying to close people's mics down and open people's mics up. So I don't know what the problem is, but to God be the glory. And to the archives and share the broadcast with your friends and let them know that there's no testimony that's too small and there's no testimony that's too big. We just want to give God the glory. That's why we're here. That's why we do this, why we get up every Saturday morning, you know, so that we can make sure that everyone knows what our God is doing. He's still in the blessing business. He's still in the delivering business. He's still making ways out of no way. He's still doing it. And despite what's going on in the world, the world that we're living in is full of turmoil, it's full of strife, it's full of fear. But we don't have to fear because God is in control. I heard a preacher years ago, he said, as long as Jesus is still seated, we're not in trouble. Now, when he gets up out that seat, that means he's alarmed. But as long as he's seated on the throne, we're in good hands. So God is still seated on the throne, and we know that we're secure. So, amen. So, Brother James, would you end us in prayer today?
Yes, ma'am. Not a problem. Appreciate it.
Amen.
Okay. Father, we just thank you this morning. We bless your holy name, for you are good and your mercy endures forever, and there is none other God like you, O God. So, Father, thank you, O God, for everything that was said today, O God. Our prayer, O God, is that your will was done on today, O God, that someone was encouraged and someone, Lord, was just built up in their faith, O God. And, Father, I just thank you for this ministry, O God. We just decree in Jesus' name that no weapon formed against them shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against them in judgment, thou shalt be condemned in the name of Jesus. And, Father, we just thank you right now, O God, for this husband and wife, O God, that they will be prosper and be in good health even as their soul prospers. We thank you for them now. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, thank you, thank you, thank you, audience, and those that will listen over the archives, those that are on the internet listening. Be sure to tune in to New Destiny Ministry every day at 1 o'clock Pacific time, 3 o'clock Central time, and 4 o'clock Eastern time. And again, this is to our broadcast, They Overcame, every Saturday at 8 a.m. Eastern time, 7 a.m. Eastern time, Central time, and 5 o'clock in the morning Pacific time. So we just thank God. And until next week, we just want to praise him. Okay, my song's not going to play, so amen, amen. Until next week, God bless.
I just want to praise.